Well, I am excited to start a new series. This one's called Paid in Full, and this is a three-week series. And we're going to look at the stories of Jesus' crucifixion and his resurrection and then beyond as we explore what the implications are for our lives today. Now, this series is going to get us through the week after Easter, and I'm excited to see what new things God is going to show us through these very familiar stories in Scripture, right? You can't go through the Easter season and not preach the crucifixion and the resurrection, right? That would be sacrilegious, I think. I don't think you're allowed to do that. I might get fired, I think, if I did that. So anyway, these stories should be very familiar to you, but we're going to try and learn from them anyway, because the Word of God is alive and is living and can teach us fresh things all the time. So this first message is called From Debt to Freedom. So before we jump into the passage for today, let's have some real fun together and talk about financial debt for a minute. Yeah, I know, right? Woohoo! Let's go. All right, so debt is a big part of our way of life in the United States. In fact, here are some interesting statistics about the relationship that we have with financial debt in the U.S. As of the fourth quarter of 2024, American consumers collectively held approximately $18 trillion in household debt combined. This figure encompasses various forms of debt, including mortgages, credit cards, auto loans, student loans, and probably some other things. But here's a breakdown of the four major ones. Mortgage debt was responsible for $12.6 trillion, which, hey, good for us, right? At least that's an investment, right? That's not, we can sell our houses and get the money back. So of the $18 trillion, a lot of it is mortgages. So good on us, I guess. Credit card debt, however, reached a record high of $1.2 trillion. Auto loans totaled around $1.6, and student loans stood at $1.6 as well. Yeah. Now, on an individual level, the average household carried about $105,000 in debt, in total consumer debt, and the average household credit card debt was $6,730, and that's up 3.5% from 2023. Now, this isn't just an individual issue or a civilian issue either. As of the beginning of the month, April, the national debt for the United States stands at approximately $36.22 trillion, or double the household debt collectively of all of us. We love debt as a people. We love to buy things that we can't afford and just pay them off over time. But did you know that carrying debt is something that will actually wear on you over time? A study from the Royal College of Psychiatrists around debt and mental health found that half of adults with a debt problem also live with mental health issues. This ranged from a consistent feeling of anxiety and low mood to a diagnosed mental health condition. Worrying about debt can affect your sleep. Losing on a good night's sleep can not only affect your mood and your energy levels, but it can also affect your ability to work or to have good relationships with friends and family. All these things can further add to your debt problem. All that to say, debt can have a very real mental, emotional, and physical weight that we carry around with us. The reality of this world is that debt is more than just a financial issue, though. We can be indebted to many things. You could be indebted to a mentor or a teacher for pouring into you. You could be indebted to historical figures or movements who paved the way for you to have a better life. For example, we are indebted to people like Martin Luther King Jr. for the civil rights movement, or Thomas Edison for indoor lights. We can also be indebted to our parents for the way that they raised and supported us. We can also be indebted to future generations for the way we're using up resources. Debt doesn't have to mean finances, but whatever the debt is, it doesn't feel good to owe somebody money, does it? No. It kind of hangs over your head like a cloud. It's always there. Well, in our time together this morning, we're going to be talking about the debt that comes with sin and our sinful nature. You say what? Yeah, thank you. You're reading, Austin. I like it. So we're talking about debt that comes with our sinful nature. You see, simply by being a human, or by the nature of a human being, we carry a debt from sin. Romans 3:23 says, "For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God." So, because financial debt is very prominent, let's go with that financial example for a minute. Imagine you had a mountain of debt. It was in excess of several million dollars. You had tried several businesses and none of them worked out. And maybe as the failures stacked and the debts raised, you turned to some less than legal things to obtain some of these loans, to try and turn things around. All of a sudden, you find yourself owing a lot of money, and not only to banks, but to some other shadier sources as well. You feel the weight of this debt caving in on you. You know that if you don't get this money paid back, you are in some serious trouble. And then out of nowhere, someone comes along and just pays off the debt. Every single dollar. Even though you didn't do anything to deserve it. Imagine the relief you would feel. Imagine all the weight just lifted off your shoulders. The world is no longer crashing down on you. You can breathe again. You aren't constantly looking over your shoulder or worried about who you owe money to. This would be an incredible gift. And you know what? Jesus offers us something even better. And I think a lot of the time we don't even realize it. Listen to Romans 6:23. "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord." Think about this for a minute. Paul doesn't say the wages of sin is paying back $5 million. He doesn't say the wages of sin is going to prison for 15 years. He doesn't say the wages of sin is 30 years labor. The wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. This makes what Jesus did far and away better than just paying off some financial debt. To pay off our debt because of sin, we had to die. But Jesus took our place in dying. We don't have to die anymore. And because of this sacrifice, this gift that we didn't deserve, we get to exist eternally. So now when our time comes to a close on this earth, we aren't just gone. We continue to live. And not just live eternally, but in the presence of God, free from the fall, free from sin and everything else that came with it. One of the most amazing ongoing realities of the resurrection is called the atonement. The atonement is just a fancy church word for Jesus satisfied the debt of sin. He paid the price of our sins. He took death upon himself and he was resurrected. He freed us from the obligation or from the debt of sin. Now, when we say that Jesus takes people from debt to freedom, we are acknowledging this profound reality of redemption and salvation found in him. So through his sacrificial death and his victory through resurrection, Jesus offers forgiveness of sins, reconciliation with God, right? We can be in right relationship again. And then the gift of eternal life to all who believe in him. This transformation is not only a change in status, but it's a profound spiritual reality that allows believers to live in freedom and purpose and joy as children of God. It's one thing to have your earthly debt erased, which would be amazing, right? I think we could all agree with that. But it's an entire other thing to have your eternal debt erased, right? Like Steph said earlier, that earthly debt's not following me, right? I'm caring about this eternal stuff. And this can only come through Jesus. He did for us what we could not do for ourselves. You can follow Dave Ramsey as much as you want, and it's a good idea to do so. But Financial Peace University cannot free you from the debt of sin. Only Jesus can free you from this kind of debt. Or in the words of John 8:36, "So if the Son has set you free, you will be free indeed." This is what we mean when we say that Jesus is giving us an avenue from debt to freedom. So today we're going to look at a passage that should be pretty familiar to you. This is Luke's account of the crucifixion of Jesus. This is Luke 23, verses 33 through 43. It says, "When they came to the place called the Skull, they crucified him there along with the criminals, one on his right, the other on his left. Jesus said, "Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing." And they divided up his clothes by casting lots. The people stood watching, and the rulers even sneered at him. They said, "He saved others. Let him save himself. He is God, if he is God's Messiah, the chosen one." The soldiers also came up and mocked him. They offered him wine vinegar, and they said, "If you are the king of the Jews, save yourself." There was a written notice above him, which read, "This is the king of the Jews." One of the criminals who hung there hurled insults at him. "Aren't you the Messiah? Save yourself and us." But the other criminal rebuked him. "Don't you fear God?" he said. "Since you are under the same sentence, we are punished justly, for we are getting what our deeds deserve. But this man has done nothing wrong." Then he said, "Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom." Jesus answered him, "Truly I tell you, today you will be with me in paradise." So we're going to break this passage down into three parts and talk about each of them for a few minutes together. The first section we're going to call the weight of debt. The weight of debt. And this is Luke 23. This is verses 33 and 34. When they came to the place of the skull, they crucified him there along with the criminals, one on his right, the other on his left. Jesus said, "Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing." And they divided up his clothes by casting lots. So, as our passage opens, we're confronted with the scene of Jesus being nailed to the cross at Golgotha. The immense weight of this wooden cross symbolizes not only the physical suffering Jesus endured, but also the burden of humanity's sin and debt. It was heavy. It was difficult. It had to be dragged up a hill. He was nailed to it. This was so much more than just paying money or working off some debt. This was him dying in our place. And in the midst of his agony, Jesus utters words of incredible mercy and kindness. "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." Despite the excruciating pain, Jesus demonstrates incomprehensible love and offers forgiveness to those who crucify him. In all the suffering and severe pain, Jesus still remains full of grace and mercy. He still hasn't lost sight of the reason for the sacrifice. I cannot imagine going through everything that Jesus went through to pay off our debt and my response being, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." You see, the weight of sin didn't squeeze the compassion and grace out of Jesus. This debilitating debt didn't cause Jesus to stray from his purpose. This is just one more example of the mercy and grace and love of Jesus defeating sin and death and being sufficient for us. Have you heard, there's a song, right? "His grace is sufficient for me." That's what this is. That grace endured. So even in the face of death and the burden of sin and humanity, the grace of Jesus still won out. And it's in this moment that we're reminded of the magnitude of our own debt of sin, our desperate need for redemption. It's a weight that we can't manage on our own. We needed Jesus to die on our behalf. We couldn't help but sin. And the price for sin is death. But the cross, as much as it was a symbol of Roman strength and oppression, it's also a symbol of victory for the followers of Christ. The empty tomb, the wooden cross, the crown of thorns. Not only do these things remind us of the weight of sin, but they all remind us that the promise of redemption and reconciliation are a reality that we get to live in. So that takes us to the second part of this passage. This part we're going to call the promise of redemption. And this is verses 35 through 38. The people stood watching, and the rulers even sneered at him. They said, "He saved others, let him save himself, if he is God's Messiah, the chosen one." The soldiers also came up and mocked him. They offered him wine vinegar and said, "If you are the king of the Jews, save yourself." There was a written notice above him, which read, "This is the king of the Jews." So as Jesus hangs on the cross, he's surrounded by mocking crowds and taunting soldiers. They hurl insults and they challenge him to prove his identity as the Son of God by saving himself. Yet amidst all this, Jesus remains laser focused on his mission of redemption. His example's a tough one to follow. Have you ever been mocked or outcast or overlooked for your faith? Maybe you've even had to overcome some adversity to remain true to what God was calling you to. Maybe you've been shunned by a family member or had a relationship end because of your faith. And as sad and uncomfortable as that is, I promise you that that pales in comparison to what Jesus went through on our behalf. Earlier, we talked about the grace and mercy of Jesus overcoming the weight and sin, the weight of sin and death, but also Jesus' commitment to and focus on his mission overpowers sin and death as well. In the midst of pain and suffering and being mocked, he could have said, "Enough is enough. I'm done with all of this. You all can fend for yourselves." Instead, he endured all the name-calling, the jokes at his expense, the pain, the suffering, and carried out his mission of our redemption. Since Jesus was fully man as well as fully God, he could feel exactly what we would have felt in that moment. I don't know about you, but I'm quitting. I am quitting if I were in his position. That's why I need a Savior. And that's why I need the Holy Spirit transforming me into the likeness of Christ as I grow older and more mature in faith. It's not just me. You guys need that too, just to make that clear. We don't have to save ourselves. The promise of redemption is there. All we have to do is run our race. Now, obviously, Jesus is the example, but the Holy Spirit helps us do that. The book of Hebrews tells us exactly this. Listen to this familiar passage from Hebrews 12. "Let us run the race with perseverance, the race marked out for us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of our faith. For the joy set before him, he endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endured such opposition from sinners, so that you will not grow weary and lose heart." Hebrews 12, verses 1 through 3. Consider the joy that comes from fulfilling your calling and purpose. Consider the eternal joy waiting for you in heaven. Fix your eyes on Jesus. Let him shine as the example. He has given us the promise of redemption through his death on the cross and his resurrection. All we have to do is run the race. All we have to do is go boldly down the road to freedom. Your debt, my debt, has been paid off and we are free. And speaking of freedom, it's the last part of the passage we're going to talk about today. We'll call this section the path to freedom. Verses 39 through 43. "One of the criminals who hung there hurled insults at him. 'Aren't you the Messiah? Save yourself and us.' But the other criminal rebuked him. 'Don't you fear God?' he said. 'Since you are under the same sentence, we are punished justly, for we are getting what our deeds deserve. But this man has done nothing wrong.' Then he said, 'Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom.' Jesus answered him, 'Truly I tell you, today you will be with me in paradise.'" So looking to Jesus in the last verses from our passage, we see the contrasting responses of these two criminals. While one joins the crowd in mocking Jesus, the other recognizes his own sinfulness and acknowledges Jesus as the innocent Son of God. So in his humility, he pleads, "Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom." In response to this simple yet profound act of faith, Jesus offers the assurance of redemption and declares, "Truly, I say to you, today you will be with me in paradise." This encounter shows us the transforming power of redemption and the path to freedom through repentance and faith in Jesus Christ. These criminals were about to receive the just penalty for their crimes, or at least just in the eyes of the Romans at this point in history, right? This was probably not just as what we would consider just. But over punishment aside, Jesus was there as an innocent man. And one of the criminals was fortunate enough to see through the accusations of the crowd to who Jesus really was. His path to freedom and our path to freedom runs through Jesus. Earlier we read Romans 3:23, but let's add verse 24 into that this time and see what that says. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, and all are justified freely by His grace through the redemption that came by Jesus Christ. So you have these two criminals hanging there on either side of Jesus. One has decided to join with the mocking. One puts his faith in Jesus. And Jesus says, today you will be with me in paradise. Notice he doesn't say, get down, go help three old ladies across the street, and then you will join me in paradise. Or get down and go feed the hungry. Or get down and go give money to the temple, and then you are allowed to join me in paradise. Faith in Jesus alone is the path to freedom. All good deeds are good, right? But they're a byproduct of your faith in Jesus. For all we know, this criminal may have never done a good deed in his life. Yet Jesus says, welcome in. Your faith is what's gotten you to join me today in paradise. The only path to freedom is faith in Jesus. And the thief on the cross is proof of that. So if we take this path to freedom, then we have been set free. We have been released from the weight of sin and the sting of death by the saving work of Jesus' death and resurrection. For if the Son has set you free, you are free indeed. So as we close our time together today, I want to just think for a moment about that word freedom. Personal freedom and liberties are something we hold very dear, something we guard and defend. Yet many of us are living with personal freedoms but still enslaved to sin. It doesn't have to be that way. You can be the freest, most financially secure person in the freest state in the freest country in the world. It doesn't really matter if you're still living enslaved to sin. What Jesus is offering is freedom that can only come by relinquishing faith in ourselves and placing our faith in Him. No matter how free you appear to be or how free you think you are, there is a huge weight to sin. But Jesus took that on for us. Jesus gave His life to set us free from all that debt. Jesus' death on the cross offers redemption and freedom to all who believe in Him. Just as the criminal on the cross experienced the transforming power of redemption in his final moments, we too can find freedom from the bondage of sin through faith in Jesus Christ. Now, unlike the thief on the cross, we don't have to wait till our dying moments to experience this kind of transformation. We can actually live life this way if we truly place our faith in Jesus and submit to His way of living. So today, as we leave this place and we enter into Holy Week, let us embrace this gift of redemption with gratitude and live our lives as a testimony to the transformative power of God's love and grace. My prayer is that we would be a people who continually strive to live in the freedom and joy that comes from being redeemed by the grace of Jesus poured out on the cross. If our faith is in Jesus, our life will show it. And if we are free, then we are free indeed. Would you pray with me this morning? Father, thank you for your freedom. Thank you for dying in our place. God, if anybody in this room is still carrying the weight of that debt, I just pray that eyes would be open, that hearts would know that that is not the way we have to live anymore. God, help us be a people who live in freedom. People who live outside of the weight and debt of sin. We can only do this because of you. It's your work on the cross. It's your victorious resurrection that we live by. It's the only thing we can boast in. And we thank you so much for that this morning. As we contemplate this week and as we live life together this week, I just pray that we would not lose sight of that. Help us to sit in this moment of your crucifixion this week. Thank you for taking the weight of sin from us. We just want to be a people that live in your grace and pour that grace out to others. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Worship team's going to play a song here. Our altars are always open. If you felt God speaking to you in any way this morning and you feel like you need to respond to that, you can do that here at the altars. If not, you can also meet God anywhere. We just ask that you would stand and sing with us and worship with us. Use this time to praise, worship, and reflect.